Tonight we're going to talk about Yerusha Berabanus, not because Parshas Pinchas has the halachas of Yerusha, because Yerusha Berabanus has nothing to do with Yerusha, as Rav Asher Weiss points out in one of his pieces. Obviously, the parameters of the potential of Yarsha making a position of Rabbanus has nothing to do with Yerusha in general. It's not that if there's no sons, then the Rabbanus goes to the daughter. It's not that if there's no son, it goes to the father. It means something like a form of succession for positions of Sfarah. It doesn't mean Yerusha. But the partial connection is the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yevkadosh Hashem Elokei V'chosu Chal Basar Yishal Leida. Moshe Rabbeinu asks HaKadosh Baruch Hu to appoint an appropriate successor. And Rashi quotes from Chazal that Moshe Rabbeinu's intention was that his own sons should inherit Moshe Rabbeinu's position. HaKadosh Baruch Hu had different plans, that Yeshua ben Nun was supposed to inherit Moshe to take over the position and not Moshe Rabbeinu. So there is a major machlokas haposkim as to whether indeed there is a notion of Yerusha berabanus, a right of a son to succeed a father in positions of rabanus. And the starting point of this discussion is Rambam in Hilchos Malachim, Perek Aleph, Halacha Zayin. Rambam Malachim, Perek Aleph, Halacha Zayin. The Rambam writes over there. In the excerpt over here, it's four lines in, or three lines in. Kolakodem benachla kodem liyusha samalucha. When it comes to the succession of a king, whoever has kedima in nachla has kedima for taking over the kingship. But ben agadol kodem lakatam imenu. Says the Rambam, v'los, that's Gemara, that's Sukkim, perhaps. That there's a form of succession from father to son in royalty. Says the Rambam, based on a Sifrei, V'lo ha-malchus bilvad, alakolos raros v'kol ha-minuyin shabi Yisrael, Yerusha l'beno l'ben beno ad olam. This doesn't only apply to royalty, it doesn't only apply to the monarchy, it applies to other positions of authority as well, other appointed positions where there is a succession order where a son and a grandson succeeds the father, provided that the son is qualified, the son has the requisite chachma and yira in order to fulfill the position. And this is quoted by the Rambam Shulchan Aruch in Hilchos Talmud Torah, the very end of Siman Reish Mem Hey. The Rambam writes, "Misha hichzik l'rab be'ir, afilu hichzik ba'atma beis esrara." If a person has a chazaka as the local rabbi, or even if he brought himself into a position and de facto is operating in a position of chazaka in some form of communal authority, ein lo rida migdulaso afa pishaba l'sham acher gadol mimenu. So even if there's someone who is more qualified and moves into town, you don't kick out the rabbi to hire the more qualified rav who just moves in. Afilu b'no ben b'no la'olam kodmim l'cheirim. And a son and grandson have kedima over other people for that position. So slightly different formulation than the Rambam. The Rambam had said, as long as he's Mimali Makam Bechachma Biyira, so Rambam modifies, as long as he has the Yira and at least a little bit of Chachma, at least enough Chachma to get by, so then the father, the son takes over. Fine. So the Rambam here is based on the Rambam, partially based on the Chuvas HaRivash. This is the Chuvas HaRivash that we had quoted in our shiur a few weeks ago about pandemic-induced changes at stock, and the discussion or the controversy about smicha among the Bali Tosos in the time following the bubonic plague. So the Chuvas HaRash that we quoted then is the source, or one of the sources of the Ramah quotes here for our practice, or the Ramah quotes, of having a chazaka berabanus and going to the son, presuming that the son is qualified. Magen Avraham in Hilchos in our Chaim Hilchos Shliach Tzibor, Siman Nun Gimel, Sukkot Lamed Gimel, the end of Siman Nun Gimel, where going on the din of the Ramah over there, that a Shliach Tzibor with Chazaka retains that Chazaka barring some other mitigating factor. So if a Shatz has a lifetime contract, he's entitled to continue functioning in that capacity. The Ramad, the Magen Avraham there does quote a Chuvas Barashtam, four lines in this paragraph. Barashtam Yeredeya Kasav, the Bechacham Hamumuna Laharbit Torah, Oladin Lar Minakach. And that notion that there is a presumption that a son, if he's sufficiently qualified, takes over the position of a father for Srara, that doesn't apply to positions of Harbasa Satora or to Dayanus. It'll apply to Shtech Sibor, it'll apply to other positions of communal authority, but it will not apply to a Rav. And this is partially the basis of Tshuvas Chasan Sofer, who initially is skeptical about the applicability of the Ramah for a Rav Ha'ir, for a position of Torah leadership. Tshuvas Chasan Sofer, Chelek Aleph, Arachayim Simen Yud Beis, Arachayim Simen Yud Beis, discussing a community where there is a sichsuch as to whether the son of the departed, deceased rabbi should take over. So the beginning of the Tshuvas Chasan Sofer is procedural, that I shouldn't be passing the shayla unless I asked it in the through the proper channels and no one reached out to me. So I don't really have standing to pass the shayla, and there are bottom there to pass in it. That's the Hakdama. The conclusion of the Chasan Sofer, that Tshuva, is Hayotzi lanu mizeh le'inyan ulenidon shelefaneinu, yein rov hatzibur maskimim olav lios lehem l'rav, v'tovis yeshiva, kadome, ein lo l'star aleya mitam nachlas avos of klal. So if you have a situation where a Rav passes away, his son wants to succeed him, and the majority of the membership are not interested in the son succeeding the father, then the son has no claim on the Rabbanus. One of the rayos the Chasan Sofer brings is the fact that the Gemara in Yuma quotes Psukim to indicate the right of succession of a son for a father who is a king. Yuma Ayin Beis, Daf Yomi just got there a few days ago. The Chasan Sofer thinks that the fact that you have a special lima for king indicates that it's not necessarily transferable to any situation of Srara. We don't automatically assume that any leadership position has rights of succession. I, the Rama, so says the Chasan Sofer, Rashi Chasan Rama, B'yardeya, so sim meshrem hei, ban of kod v'nami, is ahichzik atzom b'srara kai. Avalo harav rabbanu. So that's talking about other positions of srara. It doesn't apply to a position of emor hara. It doesn't apply to rabbanus. If the tzibur wants him, so then that's a different story. So then he would have kedima over other people. But in a vacuum, there's no presumption that a son succeeds a father for rabbanus. And then he brings a raya from. I'm sorry. No, so the Chasan Sofer reads the Ramah as follows. Mi shehusak l'rab be'ir, ein lo rido migdulaso, afilu afa pishabel l'sham achar gadol mimedu, period. And then afilu b'no ben b'no l'olam, kodmim l'acherim, is going on other positions of Srara that were referenced earlier in that sif. So the Mishnah Sukh Rabbi Ir is going, you know, remove him. But in terms of succession, the Chasan Sofer thinks that the Ramah didn't mean to say that there's an automatic presumption that the son takes over for the father in Rabbanus. And the potential reason being, Rabbi Karlbach develops in the Chavos El Sasharon and other earlier Achronim, that when it comes to Torah, the strength, the ability of a Rav to function is a function of his Kesser Torah, is a function of his qualifications. So there should be no presumption that just because a father is qualified, a son is qualified, and maybe you should go with the most qualified candidate. So if everyone wants a son, great. But if you're evaluating what is the strength of the Kesser Torah of a particular candidate, there's no automatic presumption that the son is going to take over for Inyane Torah, as opposed to Inyane Srara, or communal authority. Right.
He does it on his own.
Right.
Right. And then that later he passes away.
Right.
Then the son may, take his place. Because it's not up to them.
The son may or the son must.
The son wants it, he can. Because the Rabbah talks about a situation.
Right.
After Rabbah, when the tzibur points the rav, so then they can do whatever they want.
Right.
But if a situation where the whole thing started in the first place from the rebbe,
mm-hmm.
maybe that would
Yes, we'll see some Jews in Achronim that say something along those lines. Not necessarily in the context of ad worship, but I guess it would be applicable in that situation. In that situation, also, yeah, we'll get there a little bit later. Good. So the Chavos Sofer in this tshuva is skeptical as to whether there's an automatic assumption that a child has a right to succeed the father in Rabbanus. And then he quotes the Zaraya, Ar Sedra. Yivkod Hashem Elokei Rechosuchol Basar. Moshe Rabbeinu thought that his sons are going to yarshin him, and they're going to take over his position. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, no, the Yeshua is the better candidate. So says the Chazon Sofer, Moshe Rabbeinu himself said he wants a candidate, Asher Yetzei Lifnehem, Asher Yavo Lifnehem, to succeed him. So obviously Moshe Rabbeinu knew, or was working with the assumption, that his sons were sufficiently qualified to meet those criteria, and otherwise he wouldn't have suggested it. And yeah, Kadosh Baruch Hu told him that Yeshua was the right candidate. So even though Moshe Rabbeinu's sons met the baseline criterion of Lashon HaRambam, let's say, that they have the minimal year of a Chachma to qualify, but that was enough. Kadosh Baruch Hu said Yeshua is more qualified. Yeshua is the appropriate choice. So you see from there, says the Chazon Sofer, that when it comes to positions of Torah authority, then there is no Yerusha. Now, one could ask that, as some of the later Acharonim do, that Moshe Rabbeinu's position, aside from the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu may have had Din of a Melech, but Moshe Rabbeinu's position was much more than post-Sek Hador. Moshe Rabbeinu was the Manig and the leader, and the if Moshe Rabbeinu had a Din of a Melech, even if Yeshua didn't have a Din of a Melech, but it was a leadership position extended beyond passing the Shilas. So even if the Chazon Sofer's assumption about Rabbanus is correct, to bring Moshe Rabbeinu as a Raya is not necessarily so clear. But that's what the Chazon Sofer writes here in Arachayim Simon Yubeis, and we'll see in a few moments the Chazon Sofer backs off of that a little bit later in not a little bit later the next tshuva in Simon Yud Gimel. We'll come back to that momentarily. Famous tshuva of Avni Nezer, Yerideya Simon Shin Yud Beis, Kuntris Sheish Ma'al Sakisei. Maybe it's only famous because Rosh Hashanah quotes it often, but we have to ask the non-YU people if they've heard about the tshuva. But the Avni Nezer is a lengthy tshuva, Sheish Ma'al Sakisei, which he discusses this topic of Yerusha Berabanus. The Shaila was about a son-in-law. There is the city where the Rav passed away, and he had a qualified son and a qualified son-in-law. And the son wasn't interested in the Rabbanus. So is there any kedima for the son-in-law over an outsider? So part of the tshuva addresses the question of Yerusha Berabanus. Part of the tshuva addresses, even if there is Yerusha Berabanus, what's the status of a son-in-law? The son-in-law only has a shaykh is because he's married to the daughter. There's clearly no Yerusha Berabanus to the daughter. So why should the son-in-law be any stronger or have any more claim to the throne of Rabbanus than the daughter? So he addresses that. But as far as his analysis of the threshold question of Yerusha Berabanus, he argues with the Chazon Sofer Simon Yud Beis. He disputes some of the Chazon Sofer's rights, and he assumes, like the simple reading of the Ramah, that there is a Yerusha Berabanus. The Chazon Sofer in the next tshuva, Simon Yud Gimel, seems to walk back some of what he wrote in Simon Yud Beis. He writes, Amnam hayom chazarti v'yanti b'zeh l'kaim divrei Ramah. So after further analysis, upon further review, he thinks that the Ramah Kipshuto is still right. The Vada Nasi HaTorah b'zman chazal haya ke'ein minoy kedusha levad lo sheiris v'zein en abirusha. So the position of Nasi, which is a position of kedusha, so that might not have been birusha. Achshav, who can mishuba l'kal lasos rachaya mischar. So now a rabbi is a public servant. It's not a position of Srara. It's not Srara. That's Avdus. He has to do what the congregation wants him to do. L'gar mishatz, no worse than a chazan. Chazan doesn't have a position of Torah leadership. He's an employee of the shul. Etc. So there was Yerusha by the Nesiim. He says that even if the premise is correct, that for positions of Kedusha, maybe there's no Yerusha, Amino of Kedusha, but Rabbanus nowadays isn't Amino of Kedusha. It's simply a public servant. Achmikal Makom, the Indian Rabbanus, the Medina, but if it's a chief rabbi, Sheikaro, Sheagadol, Mikal Rabbanu Medina. The chief rabbi is not Stam, a local rabbi. He has to have a higher level of erudition. Everything follows whatever he says. His word goes. So he says, when it comes to chief rabbi, so maybe there is a position of Kedusha that shouldn't be subject to Yerusha. But even there, he says, if he's qualified enough, so then give him the job, even if there's someone that might be a little more qualified. But if there are people that are clearly more qualified than him, maybe if he's a little more qualified than the next guy, give it to him. But if there are other about him that are clearly more qualified than him, then he should have no rights there. Vim Kane. Afilu Achashi is parsim li kane. Shuzeg Gadabi Kulam, Mechto Kane, Afilu Ye Emes, Bukamakam Nikamato Kotzim Bene Harbe Rabbanim. I don't want to get into fights. So you have to deal with everything on a case by case basis. So here the Chazon Sofer accepts the principle that he articulated in Simon Yud Bey is that fundamentally a position of purely Torah authority isn't subject to Yerusha. But in practice, if it's a local rabbanus, a local congregational rabbi, he thinks that's really a position of authentic srara and not a position of Torah, and therefore that's a regular public servant where there would be Yerusha. And if it's a chief rabbi, so then that's the original kind of Torah authority that isn't subject to Yerusha, then you have to find the most qualified candidate, with the caveat that if there's just a little bit of a difference between the qualifications, then maybe the son would have a upper hand on the other candidates. That's what's expressed by the Shuvas Ginas Radim. Ginas Radim was in Egypt in the beginning of the 1700s, I believe. Ginas Radim, Yaradea, Klal Gimel, Simen, Zion. So he points out a Shuvas Arashba. Shuvas Arashba, Chelek Alef, Simen Shin, discussed a Shliach Tzibur who was getting on in years, and he wants to continue functioning, but sometimes he needs his son to assist him. So does he have a lifetime contract? Does he have the right to continue functioning at his own discretion with assistance? So in the context of that tshuva, and the question as to whether the son has the right to inherit or to take over the position of the father as a shliach tzibur, so the Rashba writes, "Im ben ra'i lekach, alfa pisha eino ari b'kolo kmo im kolo eino mishuna hu hagun." So if the son is baseline qualified, even if he doesn't have as good a voice as a father, and there may be people with better voices, but if he has the baseline qualifications, he can keep himself on key, and people aren't going to recoil when they hear him davening for an amud. So even if they're more qualified candidates, he has the right to take over. Oh, Jafil Lohaya Av Yachalama Bishimusho. Even if the father really has to retire, and then right, look, that's talking about assisting being the assistant to the father. Even if the father has to totally step down, and then right, look, Alpha Pishyesh Akhir Tomi Menu, Shura Sadin Shiyahu Kodam Khadam. So if he's baseline acceptable, even if other people are more qualified, the son has the right to that position. So the Ginas Radim, based on this Rashba, says, you see, from the Rashba, there has to be baseline qualification. If he's not really qualified, then no one would say that he has the right to position. The question is, if he has a baseline qualification, the other people are more qualified, so then does the son have the rights? So Ginas Radim is assuming, like Arama, like the simpler understanding that there is Yerusha Barabanus, but he says that's qualified as long as there is that baseline qualification by the Santan Yov. Then he has an interesting story. The next Simon, Klal Gimel Simon Ches, that he writes that there is a mice in Sfat that the local rabbi passed away, and all the members of the community wanted to appoint the Alshech as the succeeding rabbi. So the Alshech was a pretty well-known name, some of the people would presumably be comfortable with as the local Orthodox rabbi. And they started writing a Ksav Rabbanus. And then Rav Shlomo Alkovitz stopped them because he said the departed rabbi, Rav Avram Shalem, who I don't think we ever heard of, so probably less of a known quantity, at least to us, than the Alshech. So he was the Chacham HaKahal, and he had a son. But when he passed away, his son wasn't yet bar mitzvah. So Rav Shlomo Alkovitz said, it's not right to hire the Alshech as your rabbi. You have to wait till the son becomes bar mitzvah, and then he can take over his father's position as the Rav Ha'ir. Even though he writes that the Alshech at the time was about 60 years old, and the Ben Harav wasn't yet bar mitzvah. So that's an interesting historical note.
What happened to the baseline wall?
Yes, I'm not sure what happened between Simon Zion and Simon Ches. It sounds like, yes, it's not clear if the Alshech was the interim rabbi or what they did until the kid became bar mitzvah. The Avnei Dezer, not Shuvah Simon Shin Yud Beis, Sheish Malas Lekisei, is another qualifying point that if we're talking about Yerusha Berabonos, so there still has to be an acceptance by Rov Minyan, Rov Binyan of the membership. So even if you'll argue that there is a presumption that the son can Yarshin his father's position in Rabonos, but it has to be with the Haskama of the majority of the voting member, or however we define Rav Minyan, Rav Binyan has to be a majority of the membership. So even though in principle there may be grounds for the son to take over, that shouldn't be done against the will of the community if they are, if the majority is opposed to that son taking over the position. And he tells a story about a Beis Din that was convened, including Bishul Kutner, to decide such a question in Munkash. This is Munkash before the Munkash Rebbes, who would take over the Rabbanus in Munkash. Okay. Rav Osner, Shuvah Shevet Alevi, Chelik Dalet Simen Kuf Kavches, Chelik Dalet Simen Kuf Kavches, in terms of some of the contemporary applications of these principles. So he also notes what we noted before, that Moshe Rabbeinu is a curious model for the Chassid Sofer to point to as a raya for there being or not being Yerusha Berabbanus, because Moshe Rabbeinu is much more than a position of kedusha. And the Rav Osner also endorses the position that if there is Yerusha Berabbanus, that's where the difference in qualifications between the candidates is somewhat minimal. But if there are far more qualified candidates than the son, then Lemaista, he thinks that the Rabbanus should go to the far more qualified candidate as opposed to the son. Rav Sturmbach has a couple points in a couple of chubas. Chubas van Hagos, Chelik Bei Simen Tav Shin Yotes. Chelik Bei Simen Tav Shin Yotes. So he writes that the Chassid Sofer's whole analysis, he's talking about the Chassid Sofer Simen Yud Beis, even though what Rav Sturmbach says is really, it seems to come out in the Chassid Sofer Simen Yud Gimel. But he says that nowadays in Eretz Yisrael, there are many places where the authority of a rabbi is significantly curtailed, and the Chutzlar is also, there is a committee that the rabbi is scared of. Yesh committee shem mefachei mehem. So then there's no melucha berabanus. It's like an officer in a bank. So there shouldn't be any zchus yerusha because it's not a position of srara. It's a position at the mercy of the board. You're at the mercy of the moetzet or the local religious authorities in any community in Israel that appoints or whatever the organization is that appoints the rabbi. That's one of the reasons to be makel about having a ger be a rav, even though a ger can have a position of srara, but nowadays our rabbanus may not really be a position of srara. So the two are somewhat related. If there's no srara with the yarshin, then it's not a position of srara, then you could be more lenient about having a ger take a rabbanus. Then he says that even though you don't have the same kind of Torah leadership that you used to in the rabbanus, but he has certain responsibilities. He has to do kiyur v'chokim. He has to have some Torah leadership qualifications. So maybe that should come into the mix. So he thinks that all things being equal, there still is a preference to give the position to the son if the son is qualified, even though there may be very compelling arguments that, strictly speaking, that's not halachically mandated. Then he writes the same thing in Chela Gimel Simen Tav Samech when he was in Johannesburg, that here in South Africa, he's not sure if there's a Din Yerusha, because every shul has a committee with a Yoshev Rosh, a chairman, and the rabbi is kafuf to the decisions on the committee. So he's not a melech, he's nothing. He's a employee of the shul. There should be no position, no right to Yerusha, no srara, nothing to give over. So it seems like to the extent that there's a consensus in the literature, there is a notion of srara berabanus, which is the simple reading of the Ramah. But once you take all the qualifications that Achronim add, even if you don't assume like the Chon Sofer, but the son has to be at least within the ballpark of qualified relative to anyone else, and he has to be moved to Lakal. So all things being equal, in most situations, Yerusha Berabanus is not so practical. There may be an occasional situation where it is. In Eretz Yisrael, where every local Rav HaIr is elected by committee, there's no presumptions of Yerusha, and everything's subject to the same vote. Okay, Dr. Lederich wants to know about Rosh Yeshiva. Your Moshe has a brief tshuva, Choshe Mishpach Chelik Beis, about Yerusha be Rosh Yeshiva. That is, I think I have it here somewhere. Choshe Mishpach Chelik Beis, Simen Nun Aleph. So Rav Moshe writes, the most important thing is that the person giving a shir should be qualified to know how to give a shir. So he talks a little bit about how to give a good shir, what you should focus on. He says the most important thing is that the person should be qualified. So he doesn't take a strong stand as to whether there's a presumption of Yerusha for Rosh Yeshiva. Okay, sure.
Thank you. Have a good Shabbos.